You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
You were supposed to become so enamored with him that you just want to learn more about him. Just like you want to learn about that woman after you find her, where you live, what's your phone number, can I call you? And then she said, well, I'm going to make you work for it, so she give you everything but the last number. And you said, oh, you forgot to put the last one down. She said, but you got to work for it. So now you're like 555-1221. Nope, 555-1222-555. Why are you doing that? Because if you care and you want to find her, you will do that. That's why the Bible said, seek the Lord. Seek him. He said, I'm going to be found. I'll put myself in a position where you can find me, but you got to seek me. I'll save you. I'll fill you, but you're going to have to seek me. You're going to have to get close to me. Why? And as you get closer, I will put more of me into you to the point where you walk in spiritual highlight. That means that you can see God in every situation. When you can see God in every situation, you are ready for the new. It doesn't matter what the devil does. Somebody in your family dies, I'm looking for the goodness of the Lord. You lose your job, I'm looking for the goodness of the Lord. The doctor told you got stage 4 cancer, I'm looking for the goodness of the Lord. This requires a concerted, definitive attitude, an effort beyond the flesh. But I tell you today, you possess the ability to do it, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Old outlooks gone. Old ways of thinking gone. Old complaints gone. All right, once God does that, Ephesians 4 says you've got to put off concerning the former lifestyle, the old man. Put it off. Some of you were extremely negative in your old life. Oh, it's raining outside. Yeah, but look at the mud. Oh, it's so hot outside. Ooh, I couldn't come to the picnic because it was so hot. Oh, God, help me. Oh, it's so hot. In 6 months, oh, it's so cold. Wish we had that heat from back in July. Oh, God, help me. Jesus. Oh, God, give me children. He give me children. God, get these kids out of my life. They about to kill me. No, but the child of God says, oh, I wish I had somebody. Y'all not hearing me. What is the attitude of the child of God? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Tell somebody there's a season. There's a season. Do you understand that this seasonal adjustment is what will help you prepare for the new things of God? How many of you have children that are still in school? I ain't talking about college age. I mean younger children still in school. All right, God bless you. You know right now you're happy because they're playing and they're doing whatever they need. They're going to Camp Bethel and they're just enjoying life. But you know come August, the middle of August, you're going to start feeling a certain dread come on you because you have to start buying school supplies. And then it's even worse for those of you that have college children, because it's not so much the clothes for the college children as it is the books. $500 for a book they ain't never going to read. And you, it's a horrible, horrible expense. But there's always something new. I remember as a child, my father would take my brother and I down to a store on South Street to get school clothes. And you know, when you came up in my generation, you had school clothes and you had play clothes. And play clothes were school clothes that you grew out of. I mean, you didn't go to the store and say, I want play clothes. No, they were clothes that you didn't wear because you had grown out of them. They might have been too tight, high water breeches, and all the other things. So in other words, rather than throw them away, your parents made them play clothes. All right, but you always felt the need to get new books. You know, those little black and white books, you know, composition books. And you get new pencils, and didn't use the ones from last year, but you got new pencils and new erasers. I loved getting new stuff. Well, God is saying when you come to him, why aren't you getting new stuff? Because we're holding on to the old mind. And we're trying to put the anointing of God into an old mind. And that's why we're not seeing miracles. those that man that was laying at the gate called Beautiful, he was crippled. And every day he would go to that gate and he looked for somebody to give him money. So Peter and John walked up one day and he saw that they must have had the air of money about them. And I don't think the apostles were as poor as you were thinking. Because that man laying out on the street, he knows who to ask for money. He's not going to ask somebody who looks like him. He knows who to ask. And so he reached out and he asked for alms. And Peter said, "Look on us. What do you see? You're about to step into something new, my crippled brother." He said, "Silver and gold we don't have." But they had silver and gold because Jesus talked to them about carrying a purse. And he wouldn't have told them to carry a purse if they didn't have no money to put in. How many of you got a pocket, a wallet with no money in it? You leave it at home. I wasn't going to carry it for. It's broke. They had purse. But here's what Peter said. Careful examination of the text. The King James says, "Silver and gold have we not." But carefully exegeting the passage, they're saying, "We don't have money to give you for your condition." See, here's what he's saying. It's not money you need. If you needed money and that would help you, then we would give you money. But what you need is what's on us. So look on us. And then he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up." You see the new thing? The man had had people giving him money so often that he knew who to ask. But Peter and John said, "It's time for something new. How long are you going to come to church and wait for me to pray for you? When are you going to come in and say, 'The moment I sit in my chair, I'm going to be healed'? The moment I walk in that door, when the usher said," listen, if you establish a point of contact, God will meet you where you are. Healing doesn't come because the pastor lays his hand. Healing becomes because the God that I taught you about has a place of prominence in your life. But even if he doesn't do the physical healing at that moment, because you're expecting something new, your attitude is, "Thank you for this. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong, so that your power may be revealed in my life." He said, put off this attitude of the old man and put on the new man. Put on something different, Bethel. God wants to do something new in our church, but we hold on to new things. We are taking steps to eliminate old stuff. We started by eliminating the 11:30 hour. Till this day, no one understands why church started at 11:30. Has to be some reason. But it's no longer our reason. 11 o'clock. Now, there's some people who refuse to go along with the new. Last week, we started, we started the new. Last week, someone came in church at 1:30, said they had time to catch Bishop Lambert. I had left at 1:15. You see, there are people who don't believe we're going to new. You think we're stuck in the old. I'm telling you, the hand of God is present in our place. And if you keep waiting for a prayer line, you're going to walk out sick, because I'm not doing that all the time anymore. There's nothing in the Bible that says I have to call you down front at the end of the service after you're all tired and worn out, and then you're going to have to try to make it on my faith. Oh, no. We serve a right now God who will touch you when you get out of bed. And listen, instead of you waiting to come in and get healed, you'll walk in with a testimony of how God healed you on the bus, in your car, or at your breakfast table. That's when God will get glory. God will get glory when your focus is turned off of me and put on to Jesus. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up." He's doing something new. You expecting something new? No. The old is comfortable. The lady, Mark tells us about a woman with an issue of blood. Says she went from doctor to doctor, and she didn't get any better. It's because she didn't have hospitalization. She didn't have health insurance. And so she got worse. But then Mark says, but one day she heard about Jesus. Now watch the difference. When you hear about a doctor, the doctor will tell you, come to him, and then make it seem like they're the only ones that can help you. I'm not talking for those that are not in this kingdom. You kingdom children are different. But when she heard about Jesus, remember now, she was not born again. She was an Israelite, but she was not born again. She came to the conclusion that my healing, though I tried it in an old way, she had gone through all of the things, the rituals that the law says she's supposed to do. She isolated herself, according to Ezekiel, from her family. She probably did all the old wives' tales that were placed upon her by her culture. For all these years, she bled. She was weakened. She had very low blood count. But she mustered up enough strength to say, I want something new. Now, from what I heard about this man Jesus, everybody else who came to him insisted that he touches them. But I'm going to try something new. I'm going to touch his clothes. That's all I need to touch is his clothes. And I don't know how she got through the crowd. And we love the drama of this story. But she manages to get through. And the Bible said the moment she touched a part of his clothes, the bleeding stopped. Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples said, you got all these people pushing up against you. You're in a crowd. He said, you ask who touched? He said, somebody pushed past man and got a hold of God. And when he turned around, she identified himself and he said, your faith has made you whole. Woo. Your desire for something new has healed you. I stopped the blood flow. Glory to God. But now I see that there's something in you that's going to restore all that you lost. I want you to know the new thing is God restoring what the devil took away. And you ought to prepare yourself for the days of restoration. I tell you that the prophecy of Joel is about to come to pass. Glory to God. I'm believing God to blow through here where the most bougie church member is going to dance before the Lord. I believe God is going to have us jumping and praising him where it's going to look like I've released mice in the congregation. That there's going to be such a cry of praise and such a height of worship that the walls of Jericho are going to fall down while we're worshiping him in Pennsylvania. I believe that the new thing is going to bring healing. Some of you are going to walk in with cervical cancer and walk out with new cervix. I believe that God is going to touch you and give you the desires of your heart. I believe that God is about to unleash a level of anointing where no devil is going to stand in your way. Tell somebody, it's coming. Hey! If it's coming, you got to get ready. There was an episode of Martin where they had won a car, and they decided rather than sell the car, they were going to split it amongst the four of them. And so one day Tommy had the car, and he was taking Shanae and LaQuisha, and he was taking them to the club. And while they were talking, Shanae was saying how she had drank 240s before she even got in the car. And Tommy said, you drank 240s before? He said, yeah, what's the matter with you, Tommy? I'm just trying to get ready for the club. I'm just trying to get ready for the club. Listen to what she said. She says, I'm not going to pay for no drink when I can get my own at home. Lord, have mercy. That means that you ought to get ready for the move when you're at home. Don't wait till you get at church. Don't wait till you get to church. Don't wait till you get into a seat. You ought to be praising him at home. And when somebody said, why are you praising him? I'm just getting ready for the church. I'm getting ready for the church. Getting ready is not putting on your clothes. Getting ready is singing him praise. Getting ready is giving him glory. Even if the situation has not changed, you give him glory. Ah! Tell somebody something new. I'm looking. Glory to God. Before Smokey Robinson and the Miracles were recording before the Temptations. And Smokey and the predominant number of groups, the most they would do when they sang was snap their fingers. And that's all they did. They would harmonize, stay in one place. Well, Paul said, we ain't doing that when we sing. Paul said, we gonna move. Once the temp started moving, then came the tops. Sugar pie, honey bunch. Everybody start moving after the temp start moving. Are you with me? Well, God is saying, look, for so many years, people just came in church and sat around. I say, God says, clap your hands, pat your feet, shout out to God. Get the atmosphere ready. Something is about to happen. Can you hear the thunder coming? The dead being raised, the sick being healed. Get the clapping. See, that's why I say I'm Presbycostal. I can teach the scripture and give you the light that you need. But oh, there's a time when the Pentecost comes out, when God says, look here, you've gotten enough of the word. Now you need some spirit. And I want something out of you in order to facilitate a move. Praise always facilitates a move. If it doesn't come before it, it sure enough comes after. Children of Israel said, how are we going to get across? Pharaoh's behind us. Moses said, what are we going to do? God said, what you call? I love this. God said, what you calling me for? What you mean what I'm calling you for? There's soldiers coming to kill us. He said, what's in your hand? He said, that same old stick that you gave me on the mount. He said, stretch it out. Tell your neighbor, stretch it out. He gave you something, stretch it out. Whatever he gave you, stretch it out over your situation. And when he stretched it out, now I know the movie says it happened in a few minutes. That's because they didn't have enough time. But there are some deliverances that take all night. But that's why David said, look, weeping may endure for the night. But if I go through for the night, I know joy is coming in the morning. And so you might have me cry for a little while tonight, devil. But once the sun comes up, my tears are over. I'm going to have a praise come out of my mouth. A praise that will say, survivor! Oh, I wish I had a church that could go along with me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't you understand the new is here? I'm here to prophetically tell you it ain't coming. It's here. What you gonna do about it? What you gonna do about the new? It's here. The healing is here. The deliverance is here. The salvation is here. What are you gonna do about it? You that are watching by live stream, it's coming through the screen right at you. Throw up your hands and give him a shout. Glory. Hallelujah. You see, people, I am not
a Philadelphia sports fan. Never have been, never will be. It's just me. I just don't cheer for anything where I grew up. Sorry. But I do like to go to the games because they have hot dogs. Amen. Go to Dollar Dog Day. Don't matter who you cheer for then. But when I go, I went to a football game with Pastor Lupton, and we had these tickets around the 50-yard line. And Pastor Lupton and I are sitting there looking at the crowd and thinking how great it would be to preach. We're probably the only two people in that crowd of 60-some thousand people saying, I wish they let us preach. And all of a sudden, the game is getting ready to go, and there's a group of men standing behind us who have stripped down. They've taken all their shirts off, and they painted themselves the Eagles' colors. And they stood up, and they started doing that Eagles' chant. And we turned around and looked, and then everybody in the audience started cheering for the Eagles. They lost, but everybody's cheering for the Eagles. And I could never quite understand, why do people cheer for losing teams? Now, I know some of you are going, well, you got to stay faithful to the home team. Okay, God bless you. That's your rationale. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how you see things. But I'm a little more pragmatic. I cheer for winners. Not for people that I want to win. I cheer for people who have won. That's why I don't have a problem praising Jesus. He won. To my Muslim brothers and sisters, I don't understand why you cheer for Muhammad. He lost. He dead. His bones are still in the ground. You walking around with your head covered and you got on black clothes all the way down to your feet, and he cannot help you.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, A New Time is Coming, or the program number, 07219P. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.